Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Good morning or afternoon. This is episode 90, and it will be the last of this year, 2024. I will have a conversation with my friend and artist Agnes Gomori about art and spirituality and how we as artists adapt that in our art as well as experience it to create specific art. And for each of us, it works totally differently. But that is very good. We both know everything is energy, and we also had this cute thing that when we visited Tate Modern in June, we were both that tired. But the energy was so great and uplifted us. It was giving energy. And so that will be our conversation today. I want to welcome you, Agnes. Happy to have you here with me. I need to explain, because this will be slightly different. Normally, I have a guest and then I have a conversation, ask questions, but this will slightly different than usual. As I said, truly, we have a conversation about what spirituality means to us and how it plays into our lives and art. Meaning, I am not only asking Agnes specific questions alone, she will also ask me, which is a fun experiment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And hi, everyone. So, you know what? I will start with a question then. So, okay. As this podcast is about spirituality, I want to know, what does it mean for you, spirituality, especially regarding to your art?
Well, spirituality in general means a lot to me, because ever since I was a child, I heard things. I could hear a voice calling me. Mm-hmm. And then I was in his big house and I was running to the kitchen because I was sure my dad was calling me. There was no dad there. Mm-hmm. And I have this often. Now I know it's spirit guides calling you, like, hello there, are you here? Mm-hmm. It's time you listen. We have something to tell. So I had something really funny. I was listening to the biography of Leonardo da Vinci very early in the morning. I woke up, couldn't sleep, put on my headphones and started listening. And then I drifted off and suddenly heard, hey, Karin. And I was awake and I said, yes, 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 I'm listening.
Oh, lovely. I love it. Like,
but yeah, then it was gone. But yeah, spirituality for me is something that I always had. Mm-hmm. That in parts of my life I forgot about, not listening to my voice, avoiding red flags, etc. And, you know, I embrace it, and especially with art. And why with art? Because in the observation that I do, time slows down. And when time slows down, I can literally have a conversation with the person I paint. And that is not like the conversation we have. This is a conversation on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
So I touch deep into someone's soul. I can get the inner beauty out.
Yes.
That's what he or she doesn't see in him or herself, but I can see it. Yeah, and spirituality in general, it comes all the time. I hear things like the voice. It's not in my head. I'm not crazy. I see things. So I'm guided. I can have when I walk. I walk. And I'm worried about something. I suddenly see a very clear image of myself sitting like, yes, knowing it will all be okay. Don't worry.
I love that.
So, yeah, and so I incorporate this in my art. And what it means is that I slow down even more.
Yeah.
The better I observe, the more I see, the more I feel, the more I hear, yes, the closer I come to that what I want to convey within my art.
Yes. And do you feel as well? So do you feel it also when they... Or do you hear, you said you hear the voices, you see, you hear, but do you also feel? Do you feel it also?
Yeah, I feel, but not as I know you have. So tell me about that. How is it for you?
So very similar in terms of I also, I was a very young child. The first time I heard voices and I saw also spirits. I thought everyone can see it, hear it, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the feeling aspect comes different ways. The most common, I would say for me, is when I literally I have goosebumps, like now. Mm-hmm. I know that someone is here now. And it could be either spirit guides, angels, one of my ancestors, so I know who is it exactly. Of course, it comes with years and years of experience. And interesting that you talked about when you walk and mm-hmm. when you slow down. It's very similar to me as well. So when I slow down, I assume it's for everyone, for all of us, isn't it? When we slow down, and also when we're able to cut out the noise, not just the direct environment, but from here as well, cut out the noise, and then we can get into this flow, the spiritual flow, and then we can create amazing works of art or music or writing. I absolutely love that feeling, and I think it's so precious and it's so important that we as creators, we always cut out time for that, no matter what. In terms of walking, oh yes, I absolutely with you. When you walk and when you slow down and then, oh yes, then the voices and the advice. Yeah, I love that. I love that feeling. But it's so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also learning to listen to it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Dare to listen to it. Yes, because you mentioned that there was a time when you didn't listen to it. I think so many of us, I spoke to so many other spiritual creatives who were the same, of course. We were conditioned by society that we used to need to use our left brain, the logical brain, because that's what society dictates us to do, and ignore the right brain or just leave it as a hobby. Of course, now we know that, no, it's not the case, because you can't change who you are and we don't want to be. We are proud to be creators and artist, but it took me as well years and years and years to be able to step out and to say that, no, I'm not going to change who I am. This is who I am. And I'm so glad that I finally can say that yes, I can create artworks. I can write, I can sing. And I'm so blessed that I was given all these gifts. Like other people were given the same or different. We all have different kind of talents, and we ought to use it. If you don't use it, that is actually the sin. We ought to use it. That's why we're given this.
Music.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm a classically trained musician.
Exactly.
And when I was studying flute, and also after that, I played, I got huge insights.
Mm.
I always thought, because I'm a flutist, it is the breath, because you really go into breathing and you use everything in your, and breath is the first thing that brings us life, right? Mm.
Yes.
And so, but you know that you are in front of audience and you play and you tell the story and then you're finished and you wake up and everyone is standing applauding and you have like, what's going on?
Yep.
Or that people, I had this once in a very little chapel. I had a concert and I played there, and the people in the audience came to me and they said, oh, we were so worried for you. I said, why? Because there was a scooter driving around that little chapel all the time, making noise, that it would disturb you. I never heard it. murder. You're completely. It is as if you, well, channel.
Yeah.
What the music needs to be, because it's not about you. That is one of the most important things for me in creating art. It's not about me at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The same?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's not about me. No. I think this is how it should be. In regards to spiritual arts anyway. So obviously
I think in general, arts, because yeah. I think we are all spiritual. We can learn it. One may have a little bit more than the other, but we can learn. It's in all of us. But as you said, we have made the left hemisphere dominant. It's the most stupid one. That's all why we have all the mediocre solutions. We are trained now by social media. So our art needs to be finished not yesterday, not tomorrow. And I stepped away from that. I have like, no. Art takes time. Good art takes time. And you really need to give it time. Otherwise, yeah. Well, we talked a little bit about how does spirit intuition reveals itself to you. And you said also your voice is here. And what is this with the goosebumps? Because you see, actually, I do not really see, but sometimes.
I see as well. So sometimes totally complete. For instance, a good example, when I'm at the airport or on a train and a stranger is sitting next to me, then I feel, sometimes I feel goosebumps and an image of a person comes up to me and a name. So depending on the general mood, if I see that this person might be open to it, then I say, oh, I'm just going to say a name now. Do you know, excuse me, you know, to bother you, but do you know someone called, let's say, Frederick? Frederick, that was my uncle. Or, so, you know, and it happened now so many times that someone's aunt or grandparent or parent appeared to them because from above they know that I'm a channel. So they said, oh, Agnes is traveling now next to my, I don't know, my cousin or whatever, my grandson. Let's see if I can pass on a message through Agnes. And then if you are both open to that, then it's a beautiful view. I never met anyone who would say, no, I'm not open to it or it's silly. So obviously it's always been timed in a fashion that we are both open to it and it comes at the right time. And it's a very rewarding thing for me as well, that I see the smile on their face and they are so grateful that, oh, thank you for the message. However, I don't consider myself a medium or a psychic. It just comes naturally to me. So,
But you know, yeah, there's so many, I hate it when people say, yeah, it's woo-woo. No, it's not. It's
woo-woo. No, it's not woo-woo. It's just...
It is what it is, and you explain it again.
But that would be us saying that, oh, you know, I mean, these judgmental things, I mean, we have to stop being judgmental. And why would someone gift would be a woo-woo? It's like saying about, let's say... was like a really left brain thing. Like, let's say like an engineer, oh no, that's woo-woo. That's just silly. No, we need that as well. We need this. And you know, they don't harm anyone. We don't harm anyone. So that's just so, oh, that makes me like, oh no, we should not divide each other. No one should judge each other or we should celebrate each other and uplift each other, and you know, you have that strength, I have that strength, and then you know, this is how we can uplift each other, and that is all it's about. But in order to see that and be able to live like that, of course, you need to have some sort of enlightenment, not in a way that enlightenment is, for me at least, on an individual level, is exactly about the fact that we realize that we are one and we are the same, we are one. But also we are, of course, individuals. But it's so, so important. And people who are not happy with themselves, they are the one who judge others. Not because they are happy. Happy people won't judge others. those who are not happy with themselves, those who are frustrated with their lives, but it's everyone's responsibility to live their life to the best accord, to make themselves happy. No one else is going to make them happy. And
you can't,
if they don't understand
you can't,
that, then no. They're going to take it out on others. That is, no. Yeah.
But that is the thing. Why are people not happy? Because they lost that sense of spirituality.
Exactly.
They don't listen to their intuition.
Yep.
They don't listen to the guidance they get. They don't expect good things to happen.
Yeah.
They just don't expect it. They expect the worst to happen.
Yeah.
And they are driven by what I would say approval of society. And I see this in a lot of artists also. They're not, for them, the process isn't important. For me, the process is key. Because through the process, I can get that sense of oneness, what I want to show within the unity.
Yes.
And so you see that a lot of people just cobble something together and smash it on social to show, here I am, here I am. What do you think of me? And I have like, yeah, but I'm not interested in that because it's not you. It's not who you are.
Yeah, I know. But it's always going to be part of any profession. So it's not just in art, but it's going to be everywhere. So
yeah.
We can't. Yeah,
it's true. But coming back to seeing, I just remember. No, I sometimes see, but it's more feeling. It's
right. So feeling. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's, I experienced it sometimes.
Right.
Well, I can see an image in front of me, someone appears.
Yes.
Who is either in trouble or has passed. But sometimes I also feel from behind, and it's a white, I don't know, it feels white. That's me. And it's as if it embraces me.
Yes. I have the same.
It embraces me. And then I know, I'm not alone. I'm guided.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's a very good point. Being alone or not. So for us, I think for anyone who's spiritual, I don't think that they would ever feel alone.
No.
If you're truly spiritual, you're not, you know, and it's like, it's so hard to explain to those people who are so cut off, as you said, from their spirituality, for their own inner wisdom, from their intuition. Because if you are open, and our crown chakra is open, and our third eye especially, then we know that we are absolutely not alone. And I'm not just talking about that. Yes, I've got a neighbor, and not just human wise. You know, you and we know that we all have spirit guides and angels and whatever we want to call them. But they're looking out for us, and it's so beautiful. And we have to see all this beauty around us. Oh. And sometimes I have so much love within me that I'm almost like, it's overfilled. Like, you know, like when the water is like on the top, and they're just like, and then I go out and they smile, and some people are, say, no, come on, there's so much beauty in the world. And look at that tree, look at that little puppy, look at that child, look at that. Oh, when I went to this exhibition, the Leonardo, Rafa, oh my God. It was really like I had happy tears. It was so beautiful. And I thank you for the universe, or God. I said thank you for bringing this, and thank you. And I was so grateful, you know, to be able to see close up those drawings and the paintings, things like that. How much better life is when we can appreciate things like that, or a beautiful music. You know, like a choir.
It is so important. And I'm rereading the biography of Leonardo da Vinci again, because he's one of my favorites. And one of the reasons is not only because he was always exploring and curious. He had a huge amount of curiosity and always wondering. And we should wonder more, by the way, anyway. And be more curious anyway. But he also tried all kind of things. And I love these little moments that he than apparently described in his notebooks, where he stares in the water. And he stares at it so long that he feels he's one with the water.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks at this mountain and he sees the rivers floating. And it's a line, it's a meandering line that comes down. And he thinks, wow, that's the same as the veins in our body, in the human bodies.
Mm.
And it's so true. It's so true. And I can feel that. And I love that I can read this. And I feel connected with it. And it inspires to,
yes,
to even more observe. Because
yes,
we need to observe more. Because when you observe, you expand your vision.
Yes.
We are so narrowed down. I bet. Even when walking through a beautiful city as London, most people stare at this, at the pavement.
Yeah.
But look up and look what you see. The,
yes.
And also things that have been there for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you.
And look for new things, you know. Find new things in your own room.
Mm-hmm.
Because our brains just have like, yeah, know that. Look, hey, that's new. I didn't know that. Something like that.
Take a different route as well, right? Like so many people, like let's say that, maybe less so nowadays because a lot of people, they work remotely, of course, obviously depending on the job. But so many people who came out, they're just taking the same route. Like, you know, do something different. And, you know, it might take just 5-10 minutes more, but admire the scenery, you know, the architecture and or the trees or whatever. It just, it just takes you out of this automated life. Well, yeah, going to work and then, you know, open the door, close the door.
Okay, I have one other question for you. How does all this express in your work? How does it express in your work? Because when I remember, and I'm just dead honest, and I think your work should be massive and not digital.
Mm-hmm. I know you always say that.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel that.
No. Don't be sorry.
Because at first I had like, ooh, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked further and I had like, oh my God, so much humor in it.
Yeah.
Which is spirit guides. They don't think it's a mess up there or wherever they are, the energy. They have so freaking much fun.
Absolutely. I think, I agree with you on that one. So at least my spirit guides are really, really funny. And we have lots of laughter as well. Laughter is so important for me in my life as well. And I always include something fun in my artworks. And in terms of spiritually and my art, they just one. It's like that's who I am. So I can't divide it that, oh, I'm spiritual and I'm meditating and that's my spiritual side. And then I create artworks. No, this is all in one. And the top of it is the laughter. So it's like the ice on the cake. But of course, it took me a while till I was able to vocalize it. Or so when someone asks me about it, or also just to realize that, yeah, I don't have to divide it, because as we mentioned before, society wanted us to think that, okay, as a creative, have it as a hobby, unless you're one of the 1% who can make a living out of the art, and also spirituality, have it as a hobby, have some meditation or yoga or whatever. It's rubbish. No, we are all spiritual beings, so we can't just have the work life and then in your free time, we're going to be spiritual. It's day and night we are spiritual beings. So therefore my art and my creativity is one in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
Mm-hmm.
So I don't turn it on and off. It's always there.
It's always there, yeah.
Yeah, it's always there.
Yeah. No, you don't turn it on and off. It's interesting, would you say? Because I'm thinking about how does that work for me? Do I switch it on and off. No, I don't switch anything on and off, but there are times I need to do a side hustle at this moment that I'm not creating art. But when I am having voicemails or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm always making notes of little things that come to me. Mm-hmm. I know because at one point mm-hmm. I can use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's always there. But then how does it, because your art is completely different than mine art, than my art.
Yes.
So the painting you have behind you, how does that appear to you? Do you see, is this pure fantasy? Is this what comes to you? Is this something you have observed somewhere? Or?
No, it's not something what I observed. I see it in my mind's eye and I channel it. So,
okay.
I'm not interested in painting something that I observed. I'm more interested in bringing the message to others what they can't see, but I'm able to see it. And those who are able to see it, I feel that one of my purpose in this life is to, it's almost like I'm the visual messenger, like a visual storyteller in that sense, that I'm able to give them the message with verbally in my voice, like, let's say, oh, this is what your spirit guides tell you. You know, I can see into, look into the past lives, what you need to learn. But in terms of my art, I can also bring the messages down. Like, for instance, this scene behind me, again, it's a proof that my sense of humor and like, you know, I always think we don't have to say, you know, I can't, that's one of my things. When someone is too serious all the time, no. We have to have laughter. Come on. So this is, hang on, which way shall I turn? So as you can see, mm-hmm. there's like two younger men there and there's a little dog. Can you see the little dog? Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
There's it's a little
behind
dog.
You. I just saw it. Yeah.
I usually include a little dog as well because I love dogs, but also it's more it's an unconscious symbolism, obviously loyalty. You know, they're so uncomplicated and so loyal and so much fun. And then there's this guy, which way? Mm-hmm. In this way. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like an outsider, hence he turns away, but interested in, hence he turns like, oh, what is happening over there? So obviously it's called Puppy, your milady, the puppy is here for you. And so of course that's the milady and then two guys, maybe one of the guys, the puppy, we don't know. It's up to the viewer, but it's also like a little the play with the word and being playful. Oh yes. In terms of spiritual guide, as we said, sense of humor, but playfulness. It's all about, we have to do or whatever we here to do in this earth. So obviously there's some seriousness in it and we have responsibilities, pay our taxes, whatever. But we have to have fun and be playful. No matter how old we are, have that inner child and yes, have laughter every day, laughter and hugs. And that is what it's all about. It's not about being so, no. I can't be in that environment. I need to be with people who are happy and we dance along and we sing along and we, and yes, that is for me the happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right. Fantastic. Yeah.
So what about your art? You say that your art and my art is very different. Yes and no. So in part, I agree, in part, no. Obviously, you like also strong colors, using strong colors.
Yeah, color is my middle name.
Yes,
I love colors, and I think colors are extremely important. Mm-hmm. But you really need to know what you do. Otherwise, it gets a murky mess, or it's oversaturated, and it doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Message doesn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, yeah, I am an observer. That's because I'm a portrait artist. You know that. Mm-hmm. For me, it's that to connect to the people, I need to hear their stories. I also tell stories.
Yeah, of course.
The fun thing is,
mm-hmm.
as a musician, I was nicknamed the storyteller.
Nice.
And so now I convey my stories through visual art.
Yes.
And for me, what's how it works is I can only say this through an example. Mm-hmm. So I was commissioned by a woman in London. And I was with her and I was drawing her, sketching her life. And in the meantime, she was telling about herself, her story. And she did this because she turned 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her story. And there was a point that was heartbreaking because she was part of a twin. And her brother had passed 2 weeks after being born.
Oh, right.
And so I was doing that. I was busy with the story at that time. I also made art books out of the story.
Uh-huh.
Oh. As an extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home. I put everything away, went to bed, woke up, and got a strong message. So mm-hmm. I always, as if in the night,
mm-hmm.
my door opens, mm-hmm. I'm open, and mm-hmm. finally they can come in.
Yeah.
And I wake up with the message, you need to paint a double portrait. Why?
Nice.
You need to paint a double portrait. And it, you know, it keeps nagging. It doesn't stop. And then I knew, okay, it's literally what I say. Okay, stop nagging. I will do the double portrait.
Nice.
So I started sketching and I had no idea what I was doing, but I sketched them together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the double portrait came. And I always keep the people who commission me in a loop of the process. It's nice to take them with me in the process. Yes, that yes, they yes. understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I show that and she says, oh my God, you gave my brother a face. And I could not know how he looked because he passed